Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the text from the epistle lesson from 1 Peter chapter 1. And our theme this second Sunday after Easter is your faith in your risen Lord will be tested. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, the idea of resurrection makes no sense to human reason. We do agree, though, however, that anything that dies stays dead. Only 20 years after our Lord Jesus rose from the dead, many members of a young church in a place called Corinth, which is in modern-day Greece, believed that there was no resurrection, that it wasn't possible. So then Paul wrote to them a letter, which we know as the book of 1 Corinthians, and he told them that if there is no resurrection, then Jesus did not rise from the dead. If that is the case, what a sad, sad lot we would be if Jesus had not risen from the dead. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would not have a Savior. We would have a dead Savior, and actually, we would have no Savior whatsoever. You and I and all people would still be in their sins, of no hope, no hope of forgiveness, no hope of heaven. Today, even today, there are many who still say that Jesus did not rise from the dead, that his body was stolen away, which makes absolutely no sense, by the way, since the tomb was sealed with a Roman seal, and to break a Roman seal meant death. Even theologians today, who supposedly know the scriptures better than you and me, they say that the resurrection was not necessary for salvation. They believe that if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it would have no bearing on eternal life. What kind of salvation are they talking about? That's the question. What hope, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, what hope would we have? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there is no resurrection. In faith, we believe that Jesus did rise from the dead. That this world, if Jesus had not risen, oh, it may be a nice place, and it may be a nice place to have your better life now, but if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are as a people to be most pitied. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, "But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And that is where our Easter joy is found. That is the truth that leads us to rejoice, that with that joy unceasing, we know that one day we too will be resurrected, just as our Lord was resurrected on that first Easter morning. In Jesus Christ we are alive because Jesus is alive. He is living, and since he is living, we too will live forever with him. That is our blessed assurance. That is our hope. So we go to our text this morning, and Peter begins by saying, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We bless God the Father because everything that he desired for us and our salvation has been done for us by what Jesus has done for us at the cross and now the empty tomb. Even as life has been won for us by his Son, so also new life is yours in Jesus' resurrection. Our Father has begotten us again to a living hope by Jesus' resurrection. Begotten us again may sound a little strange to our Western ears, but it expresses a glorious truth. It tells us of a wonderful spiritual blessing that has come to each of you since Jesus has risen from the dead. To be begotten again means to be reborn, to have a rebirth. Peter is talking about a spiritual rebirth. And we have this truth told to us by Jesus. Remember there on that one evening when a Pharisee comes to him by the name of Nicodemus, and Nicodemus is wondering about Jesus and who he is. And Jesus tells him that, Nicodemus, you must be born again. We find this in John chapter 3. Jesus taught him, and he also teaches us, that this had to happen through water, baptism, and the Spirit. The Spirit works through this means of grace, holy baptism, which is the Word of God in the Gospel and in the Blessed Sacrament of baptism. This gospel is a glorious truth that Jesus has died for you, that in your baptism you have been put to death with him, and that as he has risen from the dead, so you have risen from a spiritual death to spiritual life, and all of your sins, therefore, have been taken away. The gospel also announces to us the acceptance of our Lord's death and his suffering by him being raised from the dead. God is declaring to the whole world that his sacrifice has been accepted, and therefore the entire world has been justified by this one act of justification. The gospel of your salvation is complete with a resurrected Jesus. So it is that you now have newness of life, spiritual life, by the Spirit breathing into you, into your souls, by the gospel during your baptism of a crucified and risen Savior. Yes, you are begotten. You are begotten again to a living hope. This hope is so wonderful. It is so wonderful that it's practically indescribable. Yet we humans, we treat it so poorly. We think of hope as a mere chance. I hope I don't get sick with this virus. I hope that this happens. I hope that that happens. And we're kind of rolling the dice and hoping it comes up snake eyes or not snake eyes. That's not a living hope. That is not hope whatsoever. The hope that you have in Christ Jesus, dear one, is a living hope. Jesus is living. The hope that you have is in Jesus Christ, your Lord, who was raised from death to life, just as you were raised from spiritual death to spiritual life in baptism. And as Peter tells us, Jesus is the first fruits. He is the first fruits. Afterward, those who are in Christ Jesus shall be raised to everlasting life, the everlasting glory that will happen at his coming, his second advent. You know, my dear brothers and sisters, life is not about muddling your way through this poor existence, and maybe, just maybe, if you're really lucky, if you roll the dice, if you will, if you have a hope, a worldly hope anyway, that you might make it to 80 or 90 years old. That's what the world hopes for, that's for sure. But you, dearest one, have so much more because Jesus rose from the dead, because the tomb is empty. And because the tomb is empty, you have been begotten, and it is He who has begotten you. What has He begotten you for? To an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter is telling you, and he is telling me, just how much life will be better in your and in my eternal future, which Jesus has won for each and every one of us by His death and His resurrection. You will be given, yes, my dear brother and sister, you will be given a new life there in baptism. And it is a free gift, freely given to you. You did not earn it, you did not pay for it, and you actually don't deserve it. But because of God's great mercy and grace, He has come to you, and He has put you to death in the waters of holy baptism, and have raised you to newness of life. You will therefore inherit His kingdom. That's so much better than the things of this world. So much better. Better because everything in life, as we know, everything in life in heaven will be perfect. Scripture tells us this, that we will be living in a glorious body, just as the body of our glorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, where there is no sin, there is no tears, there is no pain, and there is no sin or death. Everything in this world, though, has been subjected to corruption. You and I know this. Everything gets old, including us. Everything wears out, including us. And eventually, everything made by man will rust away. But not your inheritance. It is being kept for you in heaven. It is being guarded for you by your Father in heaven. He's keeping your faith strong by His grace alone, and His grace solely alone, that reaches into your heart and to your soul, that works these spiritual effects in you. These are always through His means of grace, through the preached word, through the sacrament of the altar, and the sacrament of holy baptism. This is how God shows you His love for you, His grace for you. This is how He comes to you and announces to you that your sin is forgiven. Yes, Peter tells us that there will be trials and there will be temptations. What are the purpose of these trials and temptations? Well, the world wants to convince you that Jesus isn't your Savior, that He is still in the tomb somewhere in Palestine. Ultimately, the Satan, the devil, wants to rip you away from your Lord Jesus and convince you that there is no salvation. So Peter tells us that you will have trials in this world. You and I will suffer. We will be grieved, even so grieved that we want to give up. And that's what Satan wants. He wants you to give up. He wants you to renounce your faith in Jesus. We know that there's persecution going on in the world, persecution of Christians. And we know that there's even persecution happening here in the United States. Sometimes it's veiled and sometimes it's not. Maybe you have read, there are many believe right now, even today, that we Christians are responsible for this virus, for this scourge that has not only attacked us here in America, but around the world. And you're the fault, I'm the fault. That's persecution. Even so, we know that these trials that do come into our life, these are sufferings that God permits to come into our lives so that He may test us. And that testing of our faith, Peter gives us an example. And that example is the example of gold. How do we refine gold? It's stuck into the fire. And as it's stuck into the fire, it is heated to 1,100 degrees Fahrenheit. And as it's heated to that temperature, there is a sludge that appears on the top. It's called dross. And then the jeweler, the refiner, pours that dross off. And the more dross that he pours off, the more pure the gold is. That's why God sticks you into the fire. That's why he sticks me into the fire. He burns away the dross. He burns away those things in our lives that keep us from coming to him, of confessing our sins to him, of falling before him and telling the Lord, Lord, I cannot save myself because you're my Savior. I cannot do anything in your sight that is good, but your Son has. And I believe that because of what Jesus has done, my sin is forgiven. God uses these fires, these temptations, these sufferings to strengthen your faith, dear one. And as you come here to his altar, he announces to you, stand strong, stand upright, know that I have overcome the world for you. And then he nourishes you with body and blood and announces to you that your faith has been strengthened and your sin is forgiven. Today in our gospel lesson, as we now close, we heard about Thomas. Often he's called Doubting Thomas, but that's really not true. Thomas isn't doubting. Thomas is not believing. He doesn't believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. He wants to put his fingers in the holes. He wants to put his hand in Jesus' side. He will not believe unless he can handle him. And what does Jesus remind you and him? Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And Peter says, that is you. That is you, and that is me. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. My dear brother and sister, Easter does not fade away. Like some dreamy reality of some movie that is designed to strike your emotions. But Easter has changed your reality. Actually, Easter has changed everything about you. Now that you have this new birth, this living hope, an inheritance that is shielded by God in heaven for each of you by his grace, he has given you joy, even in the midst of your trials, so that through the flames of hardship and suffering and trial, you will arrive at eternity, ready to inherit all that Jesus has won for you and all that he freely gives to you, life and salvation, and yes, the forgiveness of all your sin. He is risen. Hallelujah indeed. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.